From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. I'm Eric Thiel. One of NASCAR's biggest teams says it will shut down at the end of the 2024 season. The owners of Stewart Haas Racing met with employees Tuesday and issued a statement saying the decision was not easy, but that they've reached a point where, quote, it's time to pass the torch. Chase Briscoe drives the number 14 car for the organization, which won a championship in 2011 with team co-owner Tony Stewart behind the wheel. He posted on his social media account about the announcement.
It's crazy, you know, knowing that this will be the last year that I drive the 14 car, the car that I, looked up to growing up and obviously idolized growing up. So crazy times for sure. Never thought it would happen. Have no idea what I'm doing going forward.
Stewart Haas employs some 300 people at its 200,000-square-foot facility in Kannapolis. The organization has won two Cup Series championships and has 69 Cup Series victories since its 2009 formation, the last in 2002. Charlotte City Council voted 9-1 Tuesday night to approve a new power-sharing agreement with the Metropolitan Transit Commission to determine how decisions are made about transit funding and leadership. The vote came after the city made last-minute concessions to Mecklenburg County and the six towns who are on the MTC. Steve Harrison has this report.
The sticking point is over Charlotte seeking a 1 cent sales tax increase for transit expansion. If the city gets the tax hike, Mecklenburg County and the towns want a revenue-sharing agreement that would set aside some of that money for so-called orphan roads. Those roads, like Grand Palisades Parkway and Steel Creek, are outside of the city and the towns, and no government is spending money to maintain them. But when the details came out before Tuesday night's meeting, there was no mention of orphan roads. The county and the town said in a statement that approval of the transit deal is now in doubt. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
Also Tuesday night, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools updated its schedule for starting the school construction, replacement, and renovation projects that county voters approved last fall. Andos Helms has more on the $2.5 billion school bond package.
CMS plans to use the 2023 bonds to pay for 30 projects. Facilities Director Dennis Licaria laid out a timetable for the first 12, including 8 that were announced in November, plus 4 new ones. The latest additions are a new middle school in Huntersville and replacement buildings for Berry Hill K-8 school and Huntersville and Beverly Woods elementary schools. They're all scheduled to open in August of 2028. Some of the first 8 projects, including a new Second Ward High School and replacement of old buildings at North Mecklenburg High, will also take until 2028 to complete.
There's been a lot of work that's gone on behind the scenes that aren't necessarily related to stacking the bricks and the blocks.
That includes designing projects, locking in properties, and getting zoning approval. For instance, Licaria says a new South Charlotte Middle School, which was originally supposed to open in 2025, will take an extra year because zoning has taken so long. The latest update means 18 projects remain without a time frame. Licaria said many of those will move faster than the current batch, which includes the most complex and costly projects. Andos Helms, WFAE News.
Charlotte-Mecklenburg police seized a car and issued 7 tickets in connection with 2 street takeovers over the holiday weekend in Uptown Charlotte and in NoDa. Videos posted on social media early Sunday showed an uptown intersection outside the NASCAR Hall of Fame surrounded by onlookers as cars spun donuts and fireworks exploded overhead. Meanwhile, in NoDa, videos on social media showed cars spinning wildly in an intersection where, according to Medic, at least one pedestrian was injured by a car around 2 a.m. Sunday. A Charlotte fire truck was also involved in a crash at the same time and place, though it's unclear if it was related. State lawmakers approved a law last year toughening penalties for illegal street takeovers to include confiscating cars and higher fines. Since the pandemic, Democrats have embraced mail voting as well as in-person early voting, while many Republicans still prefer to vote on Election Day. But as Steve Harrison reports, the GOP is trying to change that, both nationally and in North Carolina.
Former President Donald Trump has said mail ballots are a disaster, and he falsely said mail voting was one reason the 2020 election was rigged. But last year, the GOP changed its tune. The Republican National Committee announced a program called Bank Your Vote to encourage mail and early voting. Even Trump told people last month to vote in a number of ways, including by mail. Dallas Woodhouse, the former executive director of the North Carolina Republican Party, is speaking to conservatives across the state on behalf of the nonprofit American Majority. One goal, get conservatives voting before Election Day.
If we're going to be competitive, you know, we have to play by the same rules. We can't wait and try to get all our vote on Election Day. We can't, you know, risk the weather or some kind of storm affecting our turnout.
He wants to move Republicans one rung up on the voting ladder. Get early voters to vote by mail. Get Election Day voters to vote early in person. He says that's a little difficult, in part because of Trump's rhetoric blasting mail voting.
In every group I talk to, there are a couple that are hardcore and, you know, they don't like what I have to say. But that's okay. I mean, you know, we have to get everybody. We just got to get a lot of them.
Republican Ted Budd won the 2022 North Carolina U.S. Senate race over Democrat Sherry Beasley. He won based on a strong Election Day turnout. But Republicans have decided it's too risky to rely on fourth quarter comebacks. Budd lost mail voting, getting only 48,000 to Beasley's 134,000. He also lost early in-person voting, with 932,000 votes to Beasley's 1.04 million. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
Christopher Palmiter, the stepfather of missing Cornelius girl Madalena Kojikari, took the stand in his own defense in his trial Tuesday. WJZY reports Palmiter is on trial for not reporting his then 11-year-old stepdaughter missing. Before the defense asked the 62-year-old any questions about his background, they asked about Madalena. Palmiter said he didn't harm the girl, didn't know where she is, and that he didn't know she was missing before he met with school officials who'd questioned why she wasn't in class. Prosecutors say Madalena was missing for 23 days before Diana Kojikari, Palmiter's wife and Madalena's mother, reported her missing in December 2022 at Bailey Middle School. Diana has already pled guilty to the same charges Palmiter now faces. Cornelius police officers are expected to testify today. Ross Stores Incorporated plans a regional distribution center that could generate as many as 1,400 new jobs in Randolph County. WRAL reports the Fortune 500 company, which operates discount retailer Ross Dress for Less, plans to create 852 jobs and build a $450 million distribution center in the city of Randleman, about 90 miles northeast of Charlotte, by the end of 2026, according to officials with the State Department of Commerce's Economic Investment Committee. They met yesterday to approve an incentives package for the retailer. The project also has the potential to create an additional 550 jobs through a third party, according to officials. The state approved an incentives package valued at almost $13 million, including a jobs grant worth $7.6 million. The jobs grant would be paid to Ross over several years if the company hits employment targets. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster will hold a ceremonial bill signing today for the state's so-called Help Not Harm bill. It prohibits anyone under the age of 18 from receiving gender reassignment surgery or any form of puberty blocking or hormone therapy. The ceremony is at 11 a.m. at First Baptist Church in North Spartanburg. It's time now for a fact check of North Carolina politics. A bill in the North Carolina General Assembly would limit the wearing of masks in public. But would it grant new freedoms to groups like the Ku Klux Klan? A recent viral post on X claimed the bill has specific carve-outs for entities like the KKK to continue wearing hoods in public. Paul Spey of WRAL spoke to our Marshall Terry.
Who posted this, and how widely was this claim seen?
This was posted by just a random social media user, someone who is an advocate for healthcare coverage. Their position and their advocacy isn't really important here. What is important is this post was seen by more than 170,000 people, and it was shared by about 400 different accounts on X.
What would this legislation change, and how were the pre-COVID mask rules related to the KKK?
We have to go back in time to answer that question. For years, North Carolina has actually banned people from wearing masks in public. Then lawmakers in 2020, when the pandemic hit, they made an exception to that. And they wrote a little line in the law that says you are now allowed to wear masks in public for health reasons. Well, fast forward to present day, Republican lawmakers are concerned about people protesting on college campuses or getting away with crimes because they are wearing medical masks. And so this bill would propose to delete that section of the law. We got conflicting reports on whether or not someone would be cited or arrested or fined or anything like that for wearing a mask in public. The ACLU said, our reading of it is, if you're wearing a mask in public for health reasons, you would be breaking the law under this bill. The bill sponsors say, no, no, it's only if you're trying to conceal your identity. Where does the KKK come in? Well, in the same law that has banned masks for decades now, there's an exception for people who wear masks or hoods as part of a ceremony or ritual. Some people, including the ACLU, believe that that leaves the door open for the KKK to demonstrate in public so long as they get the proper permits and things like that from their local government. This bill does not give the KKK any new special treatment. What this bill does is leave alone an existing exemption that dates back decades that some people say might allow the KKK to demonstrate in public with hoods on.
Now, you said part of the reason that some lawmakers support this legislation is the recent wave of protests around the country on university and college campuses. What about those who are opposed to this bill? What do they say?
People who oppose this bill say that it could potentially infringe on federal laws that allow people to protect their health. That's the big talking point at the legislature, is that this bill probably crosses the line if it is determined in court that it would ban people from wearing masks for health reasons in public.
What are the prospects for this bill in this legislative short session?
The bill has passed the Senate and has gone to the House. There are some Republicans who are already speaking out publicly about it, including a woman named Erin Perret. She's a state House member from here in Wake County who says that she doesn't think it's necessary. If I were to speculate, I would say the only way for this to get passed would for it to be amended in some way. I do not expect it to become law as written.
So how did you rate this claim?
Well, the Post said that the bill has, quote, specific carve-outs for entities like the KKK to continue wearing hoods in public. And that's the end of the quote. The bill does not mention the KKK or any other hate groups at all. And it doesn't have any new exemption or any new carve-out for the KKK or similar groups at all. There might be a kernel of truth in there, and that's that some legal experts say, hey, there's an existing exemption where the KKK might be allowed to demonstrate in public while wearing their hoods or while wearing masks if they get the proper permits. But there's even a debate over whether they have that freedom. So this post has a sliver of truth, but largely ignores what the bill does and gives people a really misleading impression of what lawmakers are doing. They are not trying to give the KKK any new freedoms. So we rated this mostly false.
All right, Paul, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Paul Spey with WRAL. These fact checks are a collaboration between PolitiFact and WRAL. And for Wednesday, May 29th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.